well the internet's going to be.
Why's that?
I don't know. Just the been kind of slow for me.
Very slow today.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it on again?
No.
Sometimes resetting the router helps.
Also, I'm trying to figure out how to update my Clip Studio, and in my program, I don't see an update program thing. It's like the only program I have that doesn't do that.
Did you check under the help menu?
Yeah.
You might have to just go to the website and download the update and manually run it. Sometimes they do that. I thought Clip Studio just had a big snafu with their update or something, though. Or was that what?
Oh, boy.
Or was that Wacom drivers?
It's probably all of it.
I just remember... Say again?
It was on Windows machines that had a big problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Surface Pro security update, or the latest Windows security update, made Surface Pro styluses stop working with Photoshop.
Was that what was happening? That was like last week or something, right?
Yeah.
I just saw a bunch of people that got caught by it. They were like, oh shit, don't upgrade. Or don't update. Oh well. So, welcome to week 654 of the Crankcast. 654. So I was watching a movie last night. Hey, we're going to talk about bad movies for a second.
Okay.
Have you watched, what the heck's it called? It's Nightmare at Noon?
Yep.
Yeah. The movie's got a lot of faces you recognize in it, you know, at least three or four.
Well, it's the second, sort of horror movie with Wings Hauser and Bo Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, they're the leads in it.
They were in more than two, though, weren't they? Together?
They were a mutant.
Right.
But I don't know about anything else.
I'm trying to... I thought they were in something else, too. But, okay, so yeah. It's got Wings Hauser and Bo Hopkins. Who apparently... George Kennedy. And it's got Brian James, who never speaks, unless you count some grunts of pain at the end.
Yeah, he's the scary albino.
Right, which is crazy, because you can tell it's just like white face paint. But, I mean, he's like, I guess it's considered a cameo, because it's not a speaking role, and he's not really in the movie, he just shows up in the movie now and then, except for the very end. But, this is late 80s, Brian James was a well-established, character actor at that point. Why would you hire him and not have him speak a line? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess it makes sense, but because that's what the character did. But why you could have put anybody in that role? It didn't have to be Brian James,
I guess. I don't know if Brian James is as esteemed as you might think he is.
Oh man! In that time period, he was all over the place.
That doesn't mean anything.
Sure, it does. I mean, he was at least as I was going to say he's at least as well-regarded as Wings Hauser, but I don't know if that's saying much, really.
Wings Hauser has been in some doghouse shit.
And then for some reason there's this movie's almost 2 hours long, and it doesn't need to be. I think it was almost 2 hours long.
Oh, yeah, it becomes a movie, and it becomes like a Western at the end.
Right, and then also there's this just crazy long helicopter chase. Just for no reason, I guess. I don't, with a lot of people talking over the radio. oddly, it was an entertaining movie still.
It's one of the, it's an okay one.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible.
You should watch it with the Rift Tracks.
Oh, did they? Yeah, that makes sense. They would have done that, yeah. One thing I didn't get, though, at the end... when they're all driving off in the RV. Was that his wife back again? Did she just magically get better?
She, reason. Yeah, they don't discuss that there's a cure for it, do they?
No, which, I mean, kind of puts a different twist in the whole thing, because they killed a lot of people in that movie that they didn't have to.
They killed a lot of people, yeah. They killed a lot of people.
And it happened so quick, I didn't really catch it. I'm like, wait a minute, was that his wife? Or did he just pick up some other chick? And
yeah, one girl? Yeah, that's his wife.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's weird. Very weird. But
and then the sheriff's daughter is somehow attracted to Bo, who is old enough to be her daughter.
Right, exactly. She was in something else, too. I'm trying to remember what. Was it a series or a movie?
Internet.
Yeah, I guess I could. I guess I could look it up. But, yeah. That was kind of an entertaining, fun movie. So.
Did you watch that on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, it was streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was also called Death Street USA.
Death Street USA?
Oh, they renamed it.
I'm trying to figure out which is the better title for that. Nightmare at Noon or Death Street USA?
Death
Street USA.
What I'm betting they were trying to do with the name change, because like you said, it kind of turns into a Western at the end, and Nightmare at Noon kind of makes it sound like a Western anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm betting the Death Street USA was trying to distance it a little from the Western thing.
Yeah, I guess. So do you think that was the original name?
No, it says it. The original name was Nightmare at Noon.
Hmm.
According to IMDb, anyway. Kimberly Beck. Oh, she was in Friday the 13th Final Chapter.
Okay.
That's what it was. And I guess she had a recurring role in Dynasty for a while. Did a bunch of TV stuff. Bit parts. Oh, I remember her. She was in an episode of Buck Rogers, too. The Cruise Ship to the Stars episode.
I don't think I've seen her.
To the Stars. Oh, and she was in an episode of BJ and the Bear.
Well.
Huh. And she hasn't acted in a while.
I wonder if there's a way you can watch all the BJ and the Bears.
I did. They weren't great quality. Somebody had taped them off TV. But I did watch them all. That was
I wonder what to discover in rewatching those.
I still like Greg Evigan, and it's fun. That's what I discovered. It gets a little tedious towards the end. But that's kind of a problem with a lot of old episodic TV. I don't, the thing where they never really expected you to go back and watch it all from start to finish.
Yeah.
So they.
Yeah, I was just thinking, watch those when, like, three episodes later, a show would have the exact same plot.
Or actor.
Yeah, actor.
It's like, how dumb do you think your audience is that they forgot who this was?
But, I mean, it was like weeks later, so.
That happened in The Hulk. Quite a bit. I'm pretty sure it happened on the A-Team.
Or they didn't expect to see every episode.
And if you watch enough TV that's by the same, the Stephen J. Cannell stuff, or Cannell, whatever, he would repeat plots between shows that he did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, like minor changes to it, but, or Glenn Larson. Glenn Larson was guilty of that, I remember, because there was, an episode of Battlestar Galactica that was the exact same thing as an episode of Tales of the Gold Monkey or something. I'm trying to remember which it was, but and then that was also carried over into another show that I can't remember now. But so it was three different shows, and he just reused the story, or the plot, or whatever between them. And again, I expect that's because they just really never expected you to be able to watch them all like that.
Yeah,
Hercules and Xena did that a lot with. Actors, they reuse them constantly.
As in, new characters and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they'd often play similar characters. Like there's one, one actress who kept coming back as a love interest for I can't remember his name, but Hercules is sidekick. but she was a different character every time.
I remember Gabrielle was originally on the show as a different character. She was some princess or another.
Mm-hmm. So was Xena. She played, like, some character was, like, in love with a centaur.
Oh.
And she, like, had multiple appearances before appearing as Xena, like, later that season.
Who isn't in love with a centaur?
Jean Dove, in love with a centaur. My life story.
That does sound like a self-published on Amazon novel. In love with a centaur?
Yeah, but the title wouldn't be that. It'd be like on all fours in front of...
They do have oddly explicit names, don't they?
Yeah.
Why?
You've got only so much time to give people what you've got.
Yeah.
You got to pretty much just be like, yep, there's some deep ticket minutes for it. You need to know that.
It's really weird.
Like, very sincerely.
Do it, man.
Ooh, you're breaking up.
Maybe we should restart. We back.
All right, then. Where were we? Oddly explicit Amazon books titles.
I'm about to tell you about some school book series called Mythic Sex.
All right.
Book four is called Captured by the Centaurs.
Ooh, yeah.
But you can also read book two, Satisfied by the Satyrs.
Aren't they the same? No, one's a goat. One's a goat.
Taken by the Titans.
Hmm.
Mounted by the Minotaur.
Hmm.
Shit, did I just say that? I guess that one. Hidden from Hades. That's book eight.
Hidden from Hades?
Yeah. Aroused by the Argonauts. Hidden from Hades is the weakest of the titles by far.
Also sounds kind of... Because they're all pretty sexual except for that.
Well, yeah, it should be a handjob. It should be horny for Hades.
Horny for Hades.
Captive of the Cyclops.
Hmm. Doesn't really work as well.
How about Caress of the Cyclops?
Like, no, it should be one eye for a one. No. One eye, brown eye for a one eye.
No!
Yeah.
Why do you get so gross all of a sudden?
This is what I would do. That's breaking their titles. What about Sexclops?
Sexclops. I don't know, like that.
Hydra, so much head.
The cover is so gross. For sex bots? Or, yeah.
Hmm. So, damn it, I can't forget.
Why not?
I don't know. I just realized it's ruined my Amazon algorithm.
Oh.
Would you like the Mythic Sex Collection for $4.99?
Yes.
That sounds like...
All of them for $4?
Still.
$1 per book?
Wonder Comics can't compete.
How many pages? How much do you think that makes? And who's buying them?
Charles White. Trying to buy all of them. I didn't need to.
That sounds
it's $2.99, and it's 45 pages.
45 pages?
Yeah, sure.
That's not even a novella, is it? I mean, that's...
No?
That's all you need.
I really did look at it.
It's the equivalent of writing a porn.
Guys, user reviews.
Oh,
fuck yes.
Great, quick, hot read with excellent mythology touches.
But who's that person?
Mary Jane Zigzag?
Yeah, watch out. That's not for Mary Jane.
Mary Jane Zigzag.
Oh. Awful. The crudest book I've ever read.
What did you... What?
5 stars.
It bugs me, because what did they think they were getting?
She said, I was hoping this book might be along the lines of Goddess of the Rose by P.C. Cass, which features a great love story with a Minotaur-type creature and a beautiful storyline, and it was hot. And if you read it... Yeah,
there's speech
talk.
That's really good.
Well, just shows there's something for everybody, right?
Why aren't we talking about this?
Because that's where we left off.
I did my research on these, I really thought about it. and they're usually pretty shit about it.
Let's still expand the Tim Seeley brand.
Well, I would have it. I wouldn't write it in my
own. Oh, what's your pen name?
Gray Morose.
What? I think you've used that before.
I did. I was joking that I was going to use that when I was a kid.
Okay, so the dinosaur that's taken by the T-Rex bug.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
That was famous. Holy shit. $2.99. That fucker's only 19 pages.
Are you kidding me? It's just a sex scene, isn't it?
I thought these things were like little books.
Buy it. I want to read it on the show.
Oh, in the Velociraptor's nest.
Mm.
I just want to make covers for these things. 18 pages.
There's a bucket. Well, my dad wrote a porno.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Awesome.
Pterodactyl.
Taken by the pterodactyl.
Ravished by the triceratops.
Raped by a raptor.
But it's weird. It's all like women buying dinosaur rape fantasies and shit.
The tactile pterodactyl.
The user reviews. Misleading. I'm very upset because the pterodactyl is technically not a dinosaur.
Awesome. Is it? It's a pterosaur.
It's a petrosaur.
Pterodactyl in my asshole.
I bet Wings Hauser would be in the movie adaptation.
Is Wings Hauser still alive?
Oh, I don't know. Not sure.
There have been a lot of people dying recently that I thought to myself, I thought that person was dead already.
George Kennedy's dead, right?
George Kennedy has been dead, yes.
Okay. Is Bo Hopkins dead?
Bo Hopkins has been dead longer than George Kennedy, I think.
I just like the headlines of this question. A lot of unanswered questions. This story was short, but like character development. Why is Diane taken by a pterodactyl?
I can't tell if they're kidding.
Yeah.
Wings Hauser is still alive.
How about Steg in sore ass?
They write themselves.
That's a good one, right?
I read, because when I was sort of thinking about this, I looked into it, and they said, like, in the early days of this stuff, there was lots of money to be made, but now with all this sort of hype about it, it's gotten a lot tougher to make money. And there's a lot of competition.
We can make such good covers on it.
Yeah.
The covers on these are trash.
Yeah, we know how to sell them.
Why would you spend that much time on a dollar book that's 18 pages long?
Well, no. You gotta sell a little more of these.
Yeah, Mike.
Oh, sorry, I'm not a businessman. Sorry, I got no important education like y'all.
Hey, jumping back to bad movies for a second. I did see one the other day that I thought you might like, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Good times.
It's called Devil's Express.
We've talked about this, and I have seen it.
Oh, okay.
It's boring.
Oh. I thought you'd like it. The fight scenes are very badly choreographed.
I thought that I would like it, but it's just too boring.
Okay.
I'm disappointed. I disappointed Jim Terry by not liking it as much as he thought I would.
Oh.
The Devil's Express.
Oh, yeah.
I also watched a weird one with Judd Nelson called The Dark Backward. And had
Oh, yeah. He has the hand in his back?
Yeah, the arm grows out of it or whatever. He's like a bad, really horrible comedian. And it's got
That was made for HBO, wasn't it?
I don't know. I'd never seen it before. I know it's old, but...
Yeah, it was made for HBO, I think.
It's got what's his name in it? You know, game over, man.
Yeah, Bill Paxton and his buddy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really weird movie.
It's a very weird movie.
I don't know if it's good or bad. Like, though, it's atmospheric.
Yeah.
Completely like out there, you know. But anyway. I really wish Amazon made it easier to figure out what you've seen before instead of just, I don't know. I mean, you can get to the list, but it's really hard.
That's why I write them all down.
Tab that says, seen it.
Yeah.
I write them all down now.
Last week I was talking about that movie called The Grave.
Okay.
A couple of guys bust out of prison. They hear about a guy buried with like a bunch of treasure or whatever. So they bust out of prison and go to the cemetery or try to go to the cemetery to dig it up, and things go crazy from there. And I thought it was going to be like a horror movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sort of, but it's more like a twisted sort of, for a few dollars more, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets greedy and kills each other off kind of movie.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out to be really good. Like, I was surprised.
You never know.
What's it called?
It's called The Grave. It's from 1996. I had, like, Anthony Michael Hall, Donald Logue, Eric Roberts, Craig Schiffer, Josh Charles, Gabrielle Anwar. But, it turned out to be really, like, a good twisted kind of crime tale instead. Which was better than I'd hoped.
Who's the guy that Craig Schiffer looks like?
Dorf.
Is he like Stephen Dorf?
I think so. No, not Tim Conway.
But he's also Dorf.
He plays Dorf. That's not his real name.
Oh, yeah, it's totally not what he's not for.
Doesn't he? He's kind of got like a Swayze thing going on too, doesn't he?
He's one of those guys that probably should have been a bigger star and then just never really.
Yeah, but his face has all the right components, but they're not put together right.
They're in the wrong order.
Oh, that sucks for him.
That's like every act from a soap opera. My wife watches Days of Our Lives all the time, and I'm like, boy, that person has all the features of a handsome person, but they're just slightly tweaked.
All of this guy's features are way too low on his face for how high his hair is there, or something like that.
Huh.
They may have figured out why he's not a big star.
Yeah.
He was in The Long Kiss Goodnight as the bad guy. I really liked him.
He was good in Nightbreed.
What's it?
He was good in Nightbreed.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
I'm trying to remember what else I've seen him in. No.
He's got a little bit of a David Boreanaz.
Yeah,
that's it. Yes.
Yeah. I guess it's the other way.
He was a proto Boreanaz.
Proto Boreanaz. Which is funny because Boreanaz sort of looks like a caveman.
Yeah. Exactly. What's the one guy that always plays vampires? He's like in Buffy, and he looks like he already transformed into the vampire mode before he's in vampire mode.
I don't know who you're talking about, but it sounds awesome.
Spike? The guy that played Spike?
No, he's like a buff vampire guy.
Oh, that guy. The guy with the alien on.
His name is Buff Vampire.
The guy from Friday 2?
Yeah, and Cobra. And
yeah, shit, we can't think of
his name. He has a really regular name. I forgot what it is.
Cobra?
He's in Cobra. Yeah, he's one of the Satan worshippers.
He plays the pizza that's cut the scissors.
Yeah.
Hell of a role.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Was it Brian Thompson? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it.
He was in wasn't he in that show about Vietnam that was on?
On a beach?
Not that one. The other one, the troop, platoon, or not platoon.
There is Tour of Duty.
Tour of Duty. Wasn't he in that?
I don't know.
I used to watch for whatever reason as a child.
I used to watch. I used to watch China Beach.
He's in every horror thing.
Falcon Crest.
What? He was on Falcon Crest.
Yeah.
As what?
Hopkins. He's got a bunch of episodes.
Wow.
He directed one movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of want to see that.
The Extendables.
The Extendables?
Yeah.
Are those like the Expendables who did a good job so they get an extension?
They're real stretchy.
Oh. This sounds sad.
Oh.
It's a struggling publicly disgraced Hollywood icon gets another shot at Megastar when he's hired to star and direct an action movie in Uzbekistan. and it stars himself, and he directed it.
Oh.
And he's definitely playing Arnold in a weird way.
Oh.
Oh, hey. He was in my favorite Fisher Stevens vehicle, Key West.
I hate you.
Have you seen Nightwish yet?
Nightwish? Looking it up.
Because this guy might have a lot of movies on his list of
favorites. Oh, good point. Good point.
This man is a monster.
He is, and he's been in a lot of terrible movies. I forgot about that Nightwish.
Oh, man, he was a punk in Terminator.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who steals the clothes from him and Bill Paxton. He's the one who gets the clothes because he's the same size. He's
I want to say
I wrote not.
I want to say I've seen this movie.
Nightwish. Let me see. Why are you taking so long, Amazon?
Because your connection's junk.
It is.
You got that junky connection.
Night Ranger.
I'm wrong. He wasn't in that TV show about TV. Vietnam.
I don't see a movie called Nightwish.
From 89.
Nightwish.
It's it sounds like a diary. Professor and four graduate students travel to a crumbling mansion to investigate paranormal activity and must battle ghosts, aliens, and satanic
entities.
I mean, what?
I don't
know. It's not on Prime.
I liked it. 10 stars.
10 stars?
Yeah.
Out of 3,000.
Nightwish. There's a band called Nightwish.
Yeah, that's why it's ruining my search.
There's also a movie called Catch the...
Try adding Nightwish. Try adding the date in 1989 for your search.
I got it. Nightwish.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you seen Commando Squad?
Well, that sounds real familiar.
It sounds like
familiar. What do you guys like to end up doing for jobs? They
go to conventions.
They did okay, and they.
VHS tape. Whoa, that looks shit. Hey.
Oh, he was in an episode of Superboy.
Well, I'm sure he was.
Yeah, he was also in. He was also in Dr. Mordred.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He is in Dr. Mordred. I remember that.
Oh, I remember this. Remember Kindred the Embraced? That vampire TV show from the mid-90s, he was in that.
Well, I mean, if you need a monster, you get him.
I guess so.
Because he ate the...
He didn't need a lot of makeup, is what I'm saying.
I guess not.
You had to take makeup off, not Sam. He's Zadar-ish.
That's cool. He was
in an
episode of Hawaii Five-0 recently.
I wonder if
Commando's that's on here. It's in German. Damn it!
I wonder if Bo Hopkins and Jerry Reed were ever in a movie together.
They could play brothers.
They seem, or you know, they seem like they'd be complimentary actors. You know.
When a covert operation that had taken months to plan is destroyed in only minutes, this cop goes undercover with her partner to put the pieces back together.
I do want to see this.
We sent 20 of our best agents down there to bust up that little paradise. 7 of them are missing in action. They nailed the rest of them to us in very small pieces.
I'll send you a postcard.
How are you going to handle it?
Like I always do. Organized chaos.
But when you're dealing with the underworld, the game can get dirty.
This looks so good.
This place is not burned.
It's got...
They'll take no prisoners and show no mercy.
Like a fake
because they're the army that's going to blow this battle wide open. Cobra's Brian Thompson and Playmate of the Year Kathy Schauer. Together they're the toughest team around. Remain book on Law and Order.
Is that one of the Trump girls?
Sometimes it's not how you play the game, it's how you win. And if you want to win, call in Commando Squad.
Commando Squad.
Oh, I forgot you were there. I was like, where's that voice coming from?
Hey.
I thought that was part of the trailer.
I know. I was like, what the fuck? I forgot that we were doing this. I got enraptured.
Enraptured.
Welcome to the Commando Squad.
Great Commando Squad. We're going commando. Well, that would sound like an interesting trailer.
Well, I got two new movies to try and find. We watched Hamburger, the movie, last week.
Uh-huh.
Because Ryan hadn't seen it. I've seen it many times, and the Seelys have practically based a religion around it. I don't understand it anymore. I remember watching it and thinking it was funny, but it's basically a children's movie. It's like an Ernest Goes Somewhere movie,
yeah,
but it's got shit ton of sex in it. It's like a dirty children's movie.
Huh.
I just was grossed out by anytime there's food on screen.
Yeah, that's true.
I was grossed out by the weird racism. It's all over that movie.
It's super racist, but it also, all the minorities are kind of heroes. Because it's all about weirdos, I guess.
I guess. And fucking Dick Butkus is awful in it. He's a terrible man.
He is the terrible
man. And I feel really dumb that we ever made jokes about him. Because we spread his terrible name.
I've never seen this movie.
Dick Butkus is a violent racist who is a teacher at Hamburger University.
To be fair, he does get his comeuppance.
But he, like, loses his job or something. It's not like he gets made into a hamburger. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want him to be killed?
Yes. Yes. He throws some racist, horrible words at a cop, and then the cop destroys the kid's hamburger restaurant that he just started because he thinks Dick Butkus is related to the hamburger restaurant.
Oh, what did he say? I forgot. That was in the...
I remember what he said.
That was in the drive-thru.
Yeah. So, when I was a kid, my dad got sick of us going downstairs to his movie room and rating it, so he let us have four VHS tapes. And it was Adventures of Babysitting, Masters of the Universe, Hamburger the Movie, and Hot Dog. I take it back. It was Stewardess School.
Oh,
Stewardess School.
Which is the same thing as Hamburger.
Right, it's the same thing.
Except it has Donnie Most in it.
1987 or 88, somewhere in there. 88, probably.
Stewardess School is the one where the guy's a wannabe pilot, but he can't be a pilot because he has these incredibly bad eyes, and he has the giant. And he gets these special contact lenses, and then all of a sudden he's a gorgeous guy that all the women want to have sex with.
It is exactly the same movie.
Yeah, it's the same movie.
Stewardess School.
And Donnie Most is his best friend.
Oh, Zapped?
No, he was Ralph Knopf.
Right, sorry. I knew it as soon as I said it, and then I just couldn't stop myself in time. Huh. Last week you were talking about a movie called There's Nothing Out There.
Yeah.
And I got the impression that you didn't like it very much.
No, I liked it.
Oh, okay, because I went ahead and watched it after we talked about it. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie.
It's some strange stuff in it.
But it's, I liked it because it's definitely ahead of its time.
Yeah. And it's, and I don't want to say it's smart, but it's kind of smart, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of smart for a dumb movie.
The kid that's, like, the movie expert is so fucking obnoxious.
Yeah, he's really annoying.
He is so, no, he won't shut up.
Well, and you can see why everybody was ignoring him, you know, because.
Yeah, even after people are killed, he's still like, oh, yeah, go outside when it's dark and scary.
Right.
If die, like, can you just stop being annoyed by people?
Yeah. Well, you know, to be fair, he was right, though.
I mean, did you guys watch The Hazing?
Not yet.
What's The Hazing?
It's that same guy, Rob Kineski.
back to that movie. And it has my friend Tiffany in it, and it's real good. It's real funny.
What, from what year?
Late 90s, early 2000s. I don't know. Because that guy, I met those guys at the first Fangoria convention I went to. So Ralph wrote like the intro to one of the Hack Slash books at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the one with Brad Dourif?
Yeah.
Brad Dourif was in Hack Slash?
No, the Hazing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's been a while since I watched.
I want to say I've seen this one, too. Probably when I was going through that Brad Dourif phase.
At a great age when kids discover Brad Dourif.
I wasn't a kid. I mean, this movie came out in like... I just, I go through kicks.
Brad Dourif is pretty underrated.
Speaking of it, when is Chris Makepeace Day this year?
Oh, you know what? It's usually around San Diego.
Okay.
I can look it up, though. But it's usually that week, yeah. I think that's part of how it got started, was the one year you weren't going, and so I made up a holiday.
Yeah, it was more than that.
I think I was just trying to give us something to do instead of going to the San Diego show or something. I don't remember. Yeah, it looks like it's usually in July sometime. It's a movable feast, though, so it kind of floats, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. And it started out as a day, and we expanded it to a week.
You did. I didn't do anything with Christmas. Chris Makepeace Day.
Week.
Okay.
It's when you celebrate all things Chris Makepeace.
Who's that?
Did he say who's that?
Yes.
Dude, you don't know Chris Makepeace?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's what this holiday is for.
It's an educational holiday.
To spread awareness of Chris Makepeace.
Yeah. He was in My Bodyguard and Meatballs. Vamp. Aloha Summer.
Well, yeah, not Aloha Summer.
He was in that movie with Lee Majors, the future movie where he's a race car driver.
Oh, that's the...
I can't remember what that's called.
So he's in every movie I've never seen before.
You've never seen My Bodyguard? That was one of my formative movies when I was a kid. But, yeah, I guess you've never seen him in anything. Well, you've seen Meatballs, haven't you?
Once when I was very young.
Oh.
I don't remember it.
I think you might like that movie.
Yeah?
Mm.
Meatballs is a fun movie. But ultimately, it just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
Right.
It just doesn't matter.
Much like us in this show, I mean. All right, then. So what else is new?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just working.
Yeah.
Working. Stuff going on.
Stuff. So much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so I got this old SG bass knockoff from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Say what? Oh, okay. I mean, I cannot talk about it if you want.
So, is it off eBay?
Oh, no, I bought it off Reverb a while back. A little while ago. A while back makes it sound like I've had it forever. But anyway, it was like, back in the 70s, Japanese companies and that were basically making exact copies of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fender and Gibson and American companies like that got real upset about that, and they filed all sorts of lawsuits and shit and got it all shut down so that, they wouldn't be able to sell exact copies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this was from that pre-lawsuit era. And, I mean, it's not really like a high-end bass. I think it was made by a company called Global, which was just a brand slapped on by a, Japanese factory that probably put out a bunch of different kinds of brands or whatever. But it's pretty cool. I mean, it's old and it's light and it's a short-scale bass, which is fun. But I decided to start working on it because it needed some, I need to upgrade the tuners and clean up the electronics and stuff like that. And, in the course of that, I discovered that the neck was slightly twisted. And that's why I couldn't get the intonation to quite set right. No, not the intonation. I couldn't get the string height as low as I wanted it to be, you know, the action.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I couldn't do that. That's when I started actually like inspecting it closer and figured out that the neck was actually twisted a little bit. So I've been trying to figure out ways to untwist a neck, and it's really complicated to do that. You can't really. I mean, you can. Some people can do it with like heat treating and stuff. Professional people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to send it off and have that done would be like more than the base is worth almost. There's like another way where you can like peel off the fretboard and then replane the neck. So it's still twisted, but the actual neck's level, you know, stuff like that. But again, like all that stuff's just almost more than the base is worth really, unless I just decide I really, really want to keep it forever. So I'm, don't know exactly what, I guess I'm just going to have to live with it, you know? But I dig it, because it's got a... it's modeled, if you've ever seen those, the Gibson, like the EBOs and the EB3s, their SG base.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like the big fat...
It's the space that you're talking about.
Okay. It's got that big fat sidewinder humbucker up right up against the neck.
Uh-huh.
And then it's got like a mini humbucker like way back right up against the bridge almost.
Yep.
Which is kind of an odd positioning for bass pickups to me, because usually, you know, you'll get one that's like in the middle and then one that's kind of back towards the bridge but not right up on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives it a really different sound and real, you know, thick and heavy kind of. They call them mud buckers. I don't know who they are, but I've heard it called a mud bucker is what I mean to say.
By you?
No, no.
Is that what you call it on the grams?
On Insti? Not exactly, no. I mean, I haven't taken any pictures of it yet or anything. I could if you want.
Is that deer still in your yard?
No. They ran away shortly after I took those pictures.
I saw that on Gramster. Instagram.
The Insta-G?
On Gramalox.
Right on. They actually, I didn't even know they were there. My neighbor texted me and showed me a picture, and I was like, what? So I went downstairs and looked out the window, and sure enough, yeah.
Fucking. I was going to say, if you posted your neighbor's picture pretending it was your own.
No, I took that one. Fucking deer, man. But they tear shit up.
Sure.
They are really good vertical jumpers, though.
That's why they play basketball.
They should, man. Why didn't anybody like think of that?
There's nothing in the rules that says a deer can't play basketball.
They already have the Milwaukee Bucks. That's a deer-based basketball team.
I think, yeah, I mean.
You'd think you'd see them on TV more often than.
Ooh, like cyborg deer that could actually like control their antlers, like prehensile, you know?
Why?
What's happening?
Why? What does that do to make you a better basketball player?
Yeah, we're talking about basketball.
So you can handle the ball?
The problem is the antlers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Cyborg deer with, like, prehensile antlers.
I was worried the antlers would get stuck in the net.
Good. Yeah. Can you imagine, though, charging the rim with antlers forward?
Dude,
I bet a deer doesn't come around.
That would be a most dangerous game.
How dare you.
Okay. Slightly less than most dangerous game?
Like,
but yeah, it's just crazy because they can go from like pretty much just standing there to like hopping over a fence, and like not a short fence, a decent sized fence, you know. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think it's awesome that you have deer in New York.
I'm not even in the country.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Kind of annoying, though. They keep knocking stuff over and fucking shit up. Fucking deer.
Yeah. Got those street youth deers.
And the birds, man. I got this robin that keeps pooping on my front porch.
No respect for that robin.
No shit. Well, lots of shit, but, you know, yeah. That's pretty annoying, man. I mean, what do you do about it? Yeah, I looked it up, too. I was just curiosity. I was looking up stuff after the robin pooped on my porch. And you know, it's illegal to own indigenous birds in America.
What?
You can't, like, keep a robin as a pet.
Really?
Yeah. Like, wild indigenous birds you can't keep as pets.
Can't own them. They're free.
So, like, you know, no cardinals, no blue jays, none of that shit. You know, you can't keep them.
You can't have squirrels.
Can you have squirrels?
Which seems like a mis- I mean, why don't we have...
You can't have one for a pet, but you can eat them all day long.
I seem to think... Well, no, I knew a kid when I was a, like when I was a lot younger who had a skunk for a pet.
You can't
Stinky Pete.
You can't tell a squirrel what to do, though. If it wants to be your friend,
yeah, if it moves in with you, you're good.
Yeah.
As long as it's consensual.
Yeah.
So the squirrel's got to initiate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If the squirrel decides that, basically, the squirrel becomes you become the squirrel's pet.
Yeah. Once the squirrel becomes 18, the squirrel is.
It makes its own decisions.
This is getting uncomfortable.
Why?
Why?
I don't know.
It's about a squirrel coming of age.
It is kind of
beautiful. It's a nice story.
Okay.
Well, man.
I,
Do you ever wonder that, though? Like, why are some animals not pets?
I would just assume because some animals... could not be tamed.
I've seen videos.
But I mean, over time, you would think...
Just like raccoons. You would think raccoons would be pets.
Well, there's always there's exceptions to the rules. I mean, sure. There are people that have raccoons as
or
pets.
Or foxes or whatever.
I've seen videos of people with squirrels as pets.
Yeah. Sure. But in general...
They don't tend to make good pets.
Because they're assholes or what?
Well, I mean,
sort of. I mean, they'll tear up your house.
When it comes down to it, ferrets aren't good pets, but people keep them.
You know? Exactly. Raccoons can be, they can be tame, so they don't attack you in your sleep, but they'll dig holes in your walls and tear up all your shit.
Oh, God, yeah, man. They'll tear through some drywall.
I've seen, like, even tame raccoons are very forceful. If they want something, they're going to do everything in their power to get it. And in the end, they're the ones with teeth.
And I think it's, I think that's where it comes down to the whole wild animal thing. I don't think it necessarily means it's going to attack and kill you.
No, but
it
I'm
means
saying,
that it's going to.
Over time. I mean, wolves.
Just not worth having as a pet.
I think it doesn't help that raccoons have, like, grabby hands.
Yeah, they can't. You can't teach them. It's like a
dogs and cats at least just have, like, they can't grab things.
They can't pick locks.
Yeah.
Or is it the natural personality of the animal makes it better as a pet?
Well,
by virtue of how it is, even in
the smarter the animal, the more trouble it's going to get in and make your life miserable. It's not like they're going to sit there and have a conversation with you. They're going to fuck up your life. That's what they're going to do.
That's why I should have a monkey.
Yeah.
That's the. I don't think the problem's intelligence. I think the problem is thumbs.
I'm telling you, being smart ain't helping it.
Thumbs are in intelligence are related. So.
Yeah, it's like they know what to do with the thumbs.
Thumbs are huge, man.
That's what.
Don't fuck with thumbs.
Did sugar gliders have thumbs?
Yeah, sort of. If Ninja had thumbs, he still wouldn't know what to fucking do with them.
Sloths, they got thumbs, right?
No, they don't have fingers.
Yeah, they have these weird claws, giant bony curvy claws.
Oh.
Hell, Steve makes you feed them.
Mm-hmm. We were just thinking, like foxes, you know? They're like cats and foxes, you know? They're not cats. Cats with dogs running
their
brain,
kind of
like you think.
Yeah, they're cat dogs. Yeah, that's true.
Wait, what is?
A fox.
Oh, a fox.
Yeah. But the thing is, they're gonna get into trouble. That's why every time you see one where the person that owns the fox, it's not inside. It's like in a giant pen that the person made outside.
I've seen a bunch of indoor foxes.
Oh, you haven't? You liar.
A bunch of indoor foxes.
A bunch. I've seen a few.
I've never seen a fox as a pet, personally.
30, 40 of them.
On the Fox Pet Reddit. Come on, man.
That's not funny, because there is one.
I bet there is. Well, is there one that's not a furry thing?
It's a subreddit. Sorry.
When I was a kid, I had a paper route. The last house of my paper route was this house that, like, everything was, like, overgrown up. And one day I was dropping off the paper, I looked in the window, and there was just, like, a squirrel inside with his arms, like,
like on the window?
Yeah, like, just looking at me. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this house? I remember being, like, super weirded out by it. And I was like, all these questions. I was like, is that their pet?
It was the squirrel, like, going,
what is wrong with this house?
Get me out of here.
I am in need of assistance, good sir.
Yeah, it was a squirrel rear window situation. Somebody murdered that squirrel. Why won't anybody believe me?
That does sound like an 80s plot. Paperboy, overgrown yard, crazy squirrel house. A mystery to be solved.
What?
Oh, what? I just said a mystery to be solved, you know. Should probably approve this and move on with it.
Squirrel house.
No one knows what lies in the squirrel house. So, oh, hey Ryan, you got a baseball minute?
Well, baseball has been pretty miserable so far.
Okay.
Because of the weather.
Yeah.
And games are canceled over and over and over and over again. And we will almost certainly break the record for the amount of postponed or canceled games in the month of April in the history of baseball.
How do they handle stuff like that? Is it like snow days where they just tack them on to the end of the year?
They try to. They usually make them into doubleheaders. But a lot of times it depends on if that team is going to be traveling back to whatever city they're playing in. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they have really forced it because those teams weren't going to be coming back. Like they recently had a Cubs Braves game and it was like sleeting all day.
Yeah.
Just incredibly miserable. And there was, I don't know, 20 people at Wrigley Field and it was super awful.
Is it doubleheader when two teams just play two games, or is it like four teams, or is it like...
It's where two teams play two games.
Okay.
There is a natural doubleheader, which is the second game starts after the first game ends, which is very uncommon. Most of them are split doubleheaders, which means the game ends, they kick everyone out, they clean the place up, and then you have to have another ticket to get in for the next game.
Oh.
God, can you imagine if they did that in any other sport?
I mean, it is wild. There are just too many games, you know.
Wouldn't that second game be really kind of screwed up, though? Because everybody would be sort of tired, right?
Yeah, usually. I mean, a lot of players who play the first game won't play the second game. We'll change it up a bunch.
So, like, would it...
But they're not fun, but now we're looking at having an incredible amount of doubleheaders. The other day, the Tigers had a makeup doubleheader that was snowed out. So that was two games that were postponed for the team on one day. And we'll see when in the hell these games are ever going to get played.
Huh.
Well played.
Yeah, that's baseball right now.
Baseball minute.
Baseball minute. And it's not baseball related, but I now hate Dick Butkus because of hamburger boys.
Fair enough.
How was your football minute?
Wait, Dick Butkus wasn't the one that was in... Webster, right?
No, that's Alex Karras.
Larry Zonka? No, Alex Karras.
Alex Karras.
Larry Zonka looks like Alex Karras, but he was the co-host of American Gladiators.
Alex Karras was a football player, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just trying to keep it straight.
Man, you got this.
I
know all sports now.
I actually woke up. I slept in the with the TV on, and I woke up, and an episode of Webster was on, and I hadn't seen that show like in forever. I still don't really like it.
No, it's not good.
I think you dreamt that you were in the show is what happened.
Oh, man. I was Ben Vereen's character.
Like an episode of Webster.
Yeah. No?
Yeah, that happened.
Maybe. Possibly.
The original American Gladiators is on Hulu now. That's kind of fun to watch. You're bored.
I don't know how to ask this. Like, I mean, I what I'm going to ask is how does it hold up? But that's not really what I'm trying to ask. Like, is it? It wasn't ever good, was it? I mean,
I don't know. I liked it as a kid. It was unique for the time. Watching it again, it's remarkable how slow and deliberate it is.
Yeah.
You know, if it were made now, it'd have a lot more. Noise and like, fake excitement built into it and sound effects and shit.
Well, but they did, though, didn't they? I mean, they had like all kinds of things exploding and fireworks and shit going on, right?
Really. It's really strangely tame, and it's just in this sound stage where there's, I don't know, 200, 300 people in attendance sitting in like risers. It's really strangely mellow compared to how sports are.
No.
I mean, Ninja
Warrior's
not
bad.
Yeah, but even Ninja Warrior, the announcers are like yelling the entire time you're watching it. they really, that show, the yelling that the announcers do is just constant.
There's that new one, too, that has all the international announcers, too, and they'll like cut to them rooting for their country's person. That new Netflix one, Beastmaster?
Oh, yeah, Ultimate Beastmaster, which I thought was going to be an animal show. No, it's Ninja Warrior.
Who's the beast that they're mastering?
I guess the course.
Oh. Terry Crews?
Is the course called the Beast or something?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
All right, sorry.
I'm not yelling at you.
I'm sorry.
I will yell at you.
I'm trying to remember. Did American Gladiators have storylines, or am I confusing that with that ninja show?
No.
Home of the Ninja Show. What was that called again? We've talked about that before.
Yeah, we have, and I can't remember the name of it, but that was the one that had like a big elaborate plot.
Yeah.
Going on. But did American Gladiators didn't have that going on, right?
No.
No. There's no plot.
It was strictly a... just a competition sports show kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they'll tell you who the contestants, like, what their job is in real life and stuff, but there's no cutting away to, you know, a video of them at home.
Dude, I want day-to-day of, like, Nitro-colored shit.
Well, they, yeah, and then there's no actual, like, story for the Gladiators.
So it's not even like wrestling where, like, they'll shit-talk each other or whatever, right?
Like, interview them to ask them how that event went.
Okay.
That's it.
Good morning. Yeah, I don't know if I remember watching it occasionally when I was a kid. I just don't know if I'd have the patience to sit through it now, because it seems like it's just sort of... I don't know.
It's interesting to watch once. I watched one episode, and I was like, all right, now I remember what that was like.
Right on. So that's a TV show minute.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gladiator minute.
We just squirted the shit out of this episode.
You should start up an American Gladiators podcast.
What did I talk about?
American Gladiators.
Show that hasn't existed in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You could contrast and compare between the different, you know, like the original run of Gladiators and the one that they added in later, and, you know, the people that came and went.
And they tried to make storylines and have the Gladiators be characters like wrestlers. And it was terrible.
Oh, they did eventually move into that, then?
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan was the announcer.
For what?
For the... Well, they rebooted American Gladiators during the writer's strike.
Oh...
And it was really terrible.
In the 2000s?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think those episodes were on Hulu as well.
Huh. I didn't even know it came back. I don't remember seeing it.
It sucked.
Huh. Well, now I know. So, hey, Mike, do we have an email? Email. And in the meantime, I don't know what else to talk about. Do you like thick, fuzzy distortion?
Sure.
Would you like to have a thick, fuzzy distortion, like, available to you at any time?
Sure.
Well, let me recommend the Marshall Jackhammer GH1 pedal.
Is this a sponsor? Do you have a sponsor?
No, I'm just filling space, man.
Oh, I was excited. I thought we were all getting paid for this.
I don't even think that pedal's in production anymore. That's like, kind of old. It is a really good sounding distortion pedal, though. If you take the time to learn how to use it, right? You can't just crank everything up to 10 and it'll sound like crap. You have to play with it a little bit, depending on your cabinet and your guitar and stuff.
Sure.
But it's really versatile, and it's really responsive to touch, which is nice.
You got the touch.
You stroke it.
I got the power. I got the glow.
When you get the glow, everybody knows that you got that glow.
When are we going to get rolling on that?
It's the power of the elevation. Mm-hmm. Hello, chaps. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello, chaps. I recently did two cool things. I went to Europe's Strongest Man competition and went to the Secrets of the Empire virtual reality thingy.
Huh. What's that?
The strongman competition was awesome. The current world's strongest man, Eddie Hall, was there doing a log lift competition, but the whole event was won by the mountain from Game of Thrones, Thor Bjornsson.
Really?
Do you guys watch the strongman competitions? In the UK, they are shown on telly every Christmas.
Christmas?
They used to show them on ESPN when I had cable.
Yeah.
And I'd watch him. And there was a guy named Magnus Magnusson who would win all the time.
How many fridges did he have?
I don't know.
I seem to remember. Didn't they used to have that stuff on the TV at the Daily? Like when we go there for lunch?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, that stuff is the definition of ESPN2 during the day.
Yeah.
You know, that was the filler. I've seen the World Lumberjack Competition.
Yeah, there's that too.
Oh, those are great.
Is that the thing where they run around on the logs in the water?
Yeah.
They do that, but they also do like speed chopping and
climbing up poles.
Yeah, climbing up poles.
Huh. Do they fling them too?
No, that's the that's the Scottish game.
That's caber tops.
Okay.
Damn it, get with it.
Sorry.
Man, you're embarrassed.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, you don't know if you don't ask.
Thomas, ma'am, I'm proud of you.
I'm not.
So continue.
The Secret of the Empire thing was also brilliant. You wear a VR headset and a vest and go on a mission. It's more than VR, though, as you have all the sounds, feel heat, smells, and feel it when you get shot. It's Whoa. Also really immersive. You are, and your friends are in stormtrooper armor, and when you walk and look around, it feels like you are there.
Huh.
Yeah, Gabe Hartman went, and he said it was awesome. And I was like, Gabe ate everything.
That's true, yeah.
He said it was really cool. And I was like, it must be really cool.
It must be super. I've never heard of this.
So they have it in the States, too?
Yeah. It's only in, like, L.A. and New York right now.
But what is it?
It's VR, but it's, like, immersive VR.
Do they just put the VR stuff in the Stormtrooper helmet?
Like, so you wear a whole Stormtrooper outfit?
I didn't get the gist that you did, but...
Huh. Because that would be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, they said you feel heat and, like, stuff when you get shot. So is it, like, a full suit that you're wearing?
You feel like you... It said you're wearing a vest.
Oh, okay.
So they have these things. They hired magicians, I think, to figure out how to let you walk around a space with VR helmets on.
Oh, nice.
So that you feel like you're walking way farther than you actually are. It's just like a 10 by 10 room or something. But they've maneuvered it so that you walk around and, like, sometimes some of the other ones I've seen, you open up real doors. And so they have, like, stuff in the room that turns on. It's triggered and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. Because, yeah, C2E2, they're demonstrating just the, like, Halo style, like, shooter one in a room. And you could, like, do things like ride on zip lines and stuff like that and jump down, but you were still just in this area. And it would warn you if you were getting too close to someone, it would, like, ghost them so that you could, like.
I've also booked my hotel for Thought Bubble, so I'm starting to look forward to that con. Hope you had a good week. Cheers, Captain Colin.
Well, sounds like you had fun. Thanks for writing.
I should book.
You doing Thought Bubble?
Yep.
Right on. It sounds like VR is finally coming into what they promised us it would be back in the 90s or late 80s or whatever. Early 90s.
Is it?
I don't know. It seems like it's a lot cooler than it was then.
In the 90s, they said you were going to be solving murders and shit with it.
Well, I'm not talking about how they portrayed it in TV shows. I mean, the actual when you went to a VR thing, you know?
Okay.
No, in the TV shows, it was like a whole alternate life kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, like, when you went and you played, like, the sit-down units or the stand-up ones where you were in that booth that was a ring kind of thing. You remember that?
Laser tag?
No, the VR thing. Like, you got up into this thing that just looked like a booth with a ring around you.
The one where you had to shoot the pterodactyl?
Yeah, I remember the first demonstration I ever did for VR was you were just walking around and you'd walk into a building and you could fall off of it, and it was really weird. But there wasn't really much to do in it. Like, you just kind of walked around and looked at shit. It was like, I guess that was just supposed to be like a demo, though, to kind of show you how, you know, it could be immersive or whatever. But then they actually had, like, the little VR centers that would have, like, sit-down tank games and stuff like that.
Battletech.
Kind of like that. In, you know, sort of like that, but the VR version of it or whatever. But now the stuff actually sounds like it's a lot more promising than it did back then. Yeah.
Mike, when are you going to Orlando?
The end of the month, like 24th or something.
You get your tickets now.
Oh, they have it down there?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Disney Springs.
You're going to MegaCon?
Oh, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Are you going to visit that weird sex castle or whatever?
What's a sex castle?
I don't know. You were down at MegaCon one time and you went to some sort of weird sex castle or something?
No. Never been to MegaCon. Never went to a sex castle.
That's the name of Hellstar.
Wasn't that? It was some con in Florida, wasn't it?
No. I think you're talking about Easter weekend in Atlanta, and I went to Phantasmagoria.
Was that what it was?
It was a convention and a Holiday Inn. That wasn't a sex castle. They wanted it to be, but it wasn't.
I could have swore you had a story about, like, not Palmiotti, but somebody like that taking you to some weird. No?
No, it was Bob Burden.
Never happened?
Bob Burden took a bunch of us. It was, like, really? me and McKeever and Jason Alexander and Paul Jenkins and Drew Johnson and.
Show you his flaming carrot.
Tom Feaster.
Yeah, Tim, you gotta start writing those Amazon novels.
They're only 19 pages.
Tyrannosaurus sex.
I'm really disappointed by
that.
That's what she said.
Hey. Hold on.
I did my own.
Huh.
Anyway, the story Mike's telling, I remember it being really upsetting.
It was.
Yeah, but then, probably now you'd be like, what? I've seen Vampire Santa.
Vampire Santa should have been there. Since the topic of differing opinions on distorted bass has come up a few times, I was wondering if either of you had an exact example of a bass sound tone you think is the best.
Craig read this question beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, best for what? There's different sounds that are good with what they're in, but not necessarily applicable to another band or something, you know? Like Geddy Lee's kind of thin, slightly distorted sound I like a lot, you know, in Rush songs and stuff. I used to really like Cliff Burton's distorted bass sound. But I don't know that you could necessarily swap those, even though they both played Rickenbackers. I don't know. as far as being like a perfect example, I don't know. What kind of bass tone would you consider to be like a perfect bass tone, Mike? Like, what's something you really liked that you aimed for, like when you were trying to set up your own sound, kind of thing?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have one.
Because, like, I mean, you never really went for gonzo stuff like Mike Watt or anything like that, right?
I like cleaner.
Right. So, Mike Watt had a good bass tone, too, for that matter. I used to really like Billy Sheehan's bass sound, too. It was aggressive. It wasn't over-the-top distorted, but it was really aggressive sounding for the time.
I didn't think it was distorted.
No, it wasn't, but it was still aggressive sounding. It was a little bit dirty.
Mm.
It had a zing to it, too.
Like a square pusher.
Was that an actual bass or just...
Yeah, that dude's like it's like a really amazing bass player.
Okay, I don't remember. I thought that was all electronic-y stuff. But... So, yeah, stuff like that.
Also, since the podcast started because Mike wanted more podcasts to listen to, when he runs out of terrible movies to watch, is he going to make Four Star make more for his personal enjoyment?
Make movies?
No, yeah, that's what he's saying. No,
that's a great idea.
I will not do that.
Well, if he tries to make you guys do that, you need to make him be part of it.
No, I'm not going to do that. That is from Don Cardenas.
Ah, Don Cardenas.
What?
I always thought of his name like that Fox dude from Tailspin.
Don Carnage?
Don Carnage, yeah. Don Cardenas. I don't know, it just always reminded me of it. Don Carnage. Oh, that'd be my pseudonym for Amazon Books. I'm Don.
The word carnage in it.
Don Carnage. I write romance.
Don Carnal?
Yeah, that's better.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Don Carnal. Carnal. How you pronounce it.
Almost like you do this thing.
Cool. Well, thanks for writing.
That's a pretty email one.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to look at stuff that's in stores this week so we can wrap up.
Why weren't you doing that before?
Well, I was. I was prepping myself so I could then talk about it.
You hate me.
What? Why do you go straight there?
Because you do.
Whatchamacallit? Sorry. I'm bringing up the comic list again. Steve Bryant's got an Athena Voltaire in stores today.
Is he on this show?
No, but he's somebody we know.
Yeah.
Damn.
I had a whole conversation with Steve at CTV2, and he did not say sorry. And I want to say that I am extremely proud of him.
Well, good.
I think he is becoming, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Confident?
Confident? Oh, I thought you said continent.
What did you say?
I thought
Is that what you thought he said?
Yeah, I thought you said...
He's becoming incontinent, is what you say.
He is a landmass in his own right.
He's a continent.
Yes. He's incontinent?
He's incontinent,
oh.
Like my dog.
Oh. Does he wear blue diapers?
I can get him some if he wants. That's up to him.
Oh, okay. Well, then, in that case... Sorry, still scrolling down. We were just talking about Hatchet last week. There's a Hatchet thing in stores today, too. It has nothing to do with us. I'm just saying that we were talking about. Whatever. Shut up. Am I going over the top there? God damn, there's a lot of stuff in stores today. I'm really
happy. Lanterns.
You got what?
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Is that
which one? Green Lantern's number 45?
That's the one.
Look at that. Attaboy. Yeah. Now I'm scrolling past DC. What?
What?
Why are you saying that? Why are you going what?
Sorry, I'm just, yeah, never mind. It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
His board is driving me crazy.
Yeah. Wow. IDW has a lot of stuff in stores today.
Really?
Looks like it. I mean, it's the list is long because they've always got multiple covers, but there actually do seem to be a lot of different titles that they've actually got in stores today. A lot more than I'm used to seeing from them, anyway. Image. There we go. Curse Words, number 13.
Yep.
Yeah, that's in stores. Hey, look at that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, Mage is about halfway through.
I think the book I ever got came out today, Wrapped Up, Volume 1.
What is it?
Wrapped Up.
What's the studio on it?
Lion Forge.
Oh. Yep, that is there. Wrapped Up, Volume 1. Anybody got any Marvel stuff going on there? No?
Not I!
Yeah, we are. None of us are Marvel workers anymore.
Oh, Ballad of Sang, number 2, is in stores today. That's an Ed Brisson book. I lettered it, is what I mean to say. And also The Damned, number 9, which I think I lettered. I'm not entirely sure. I'm trying to remember. They did an arc where they were reprinting something they had published, you know, a few years ago. And it was because the current series is kind of fleshing around the stuff that they had done before. And so there were a couple issues there that were I didn't have anything to do with. But I think this one I did. Maybe. Can't tell. They don't list letterers on this stuff. Big surprise there. And yeah, I guess that's it. Unless anybody else has anything.
No.
Nope. Okay, then. So, go to the comic store. Buy stuff. It's fun.
It is. It can be.
I, what y'all been reading? No, you don't want to keep talking, do you?
Not me. I don't, but...
Okay.
Who knows what these guys want to do?
Yeah, well... I should go anyway, I guess.
Why?
Stuff to do.
Yeah. What do you...
Yeah. Well, I was going to cut my grass, but it looks like it's getting ready to rain. Which, yeah, my grass is like knee-high now, dude. It's crazy. I can't keep letting it go like this, but we keep getting these weird, dumbass, you know, cold snaps that bring snow for a minute. And then it's gone the next day, but everything's then it starts raining, so I can't cut grass in the rain. Especially because, you know, everything's... metal that I'm handling, or I've got an electric lawnmower too that can't really run that in the rain though. I mean, I guess I could, but it'd be dumb.
Oh my god, you are such a rambler.
I know. I was waiting for you to blow up, dude. You are so easy.
I'm gonna punch you.
Man, all right. Well, that's it for this week. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemate.com. You can read Battlepug at battlepug.com. I think people still have art with cadencecomicart.com, which I've forgotten to say for a long time. It's not like he sponsors us or anything, but, you know.
No.
Still, if you guys sell stuff, you make money, right?
True.
So, there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go find other people's websites. I'm not sure who else there. It's sort of hard to tell by voice sometimes.
Bye.
Bye. See you later. Take care.
No.